not for you. Babe, I couldn't even find the door.
Oh, we're back on a Tuesday morning. This is Up North News. You can get our daily newsletter by signing up at upnorthnewswi.com. Click on newsletter in the top banner. And if you're asking yourself, is he going to play Olivia Newton-John all morning? Of course I am. What are you talking about? Child of the 70s. And you know, basically, it's always weird to say, I won't say rock and roll royalty because there's all these different genres. So we'll say pop music royalty. You know, it's a death in the family that way, for everything that Olivia Newton-John did. Although in looking back now last night at her hits, and especially through the YouTube videos, you kind of feel bad. She got a bad break in the sense that so many things are so easily dated now. There's a lot of disco era there. There's some, you know, 80s big hair, you know, so it's very easy to say that a lot of those songs and certainly styles, you know, did not stay evergreen. But the fact remains, for, you know, the superstar that she was at the time, and for that voice, I mean, my God, that voice, you know, that alone is reason for people to take note of her passing after many years of battling breast cancer so bravely. From the mailbag, Kate Winslow writes, after weeks of listening to the Republican candidates badmouth each other, you can't help but wonder how they're going to suddenly come together after the primaries and support the winner. How do you explain to the voters that all of a sudden their candidate is wonderful? Thanks for the note, Kate. The short answer is you just do, because we've all who've played any role in politics whatsoever realize that. Well, here's the thing. Unlike a certain person whose you know, estate was visited by federal agents yesterday, by and large, you graciously accept the will of the voters when a primary is over. Now, sometimes you have trashed that candidate who is a fellow Democrat or a fellow Republican to the point where that concession and that party unity is not the easiest thing you've ever done. And I'm thinking specifically of Arizona's Governor Ducey, who, you know, went to great lengths to bash Carrie Lake, the Trumper, who ended up winning the Republican gubernatorial primary to succeed him. What did he do? Within about 48 hours, he put out a tweet. It wasn't highly personal. It said something along the lines of, you know, the work is already beginning to make sure Carrie Lake is our next governor. So not any personal compliments or anything like that, but, you know, getting on board. Conversely, party unity, as I told some of you last week, if you're listening, party unity is going to be a lot easier for Wisconsin Democrats in the 3rd Congressional District. There are four candidates up today hoping to succeed fellow Democrat, the retiring Congressman Ron Kind. We talked last week to all four candidates, State Senator Brad Paff, Rebecca Cook, Mark Newman, and Deb Baldus McGrath. All made their case, and I would have a tough time believing that the three candidates who don't win today are going to just go away. They understand the threat posed by having Derek Van Orden be the presumptive Republican nominee and having somebody represent Wisconsin in Congress who is quite blatantly pro-insurrection and frankly has just been a troll in so many other ways through his conduct, both online and in person. And yet, so much money is going to be poured into supporting Derek Van Orden, propping him up, making him look like a legitimate leader rather than, you know, our version of Marjorie Taylor Greene, which is what I'm quite certain he aspires to. And so there's going to be a lot of messaging out there that tries to make him to be something that he isn't. In much the same way, as I mentioned yesterday about the Republican Governors Association running ads against Tony Evers, you know, featuring a whole bunch of angry white people going crime and saying other things like crime, and who can forget their other greatest hit, crime. That's just the message that outside groups will use, even though crime is not a major issue in Wisconsin, certainly not for Wisconsin voters. But that's what happens when outside groups come in and try to do anything they can to tear down the other side and prop up their side. And, you know, Luke, that's an unfortunate part of politics after the primary.
Yeah. And the interesting aspect will be as well that for roughly the last 6 months, I feel like it's been maybe a little bit shorter than that. We've been hearing that inflation is the number one issue. Inflation. And you just had 50 Republican senators vote against the Inflation Reduction Act on Sunday. And I think it's going to be really interesting to find out the crime ads versus the ads that I expect are coming after the Inflation Reduction Act passes the House, hopefully later this week, of the ads they're going to create saying Republicans are voting against the Inflation Reduction Act.
Well, it depends. You know, everything is poll tested, to a fault. And it's a matter of what appears to test well. And so if an inflation message is testing well, they'll go with that. If it's a crime message, they'll go with that. I also happen to think that if inflation does start to show signs of receding, the message will simply shift to government spending. You know, that, you know, there's all this government spending that's going on. Yeah, the thing that, you know, propped up an economy, prevented, you know, economic collapse during the pandemic and is aiding in the economic recovery. But for now, we don't know what message is going to be used by the nominee against Tony Evers, because we don't know who the nominee will be. The most recent polling came from Emerson College of Massachusetts. They did a survey last week, August 3rd through the 5th. Let's see, margin of error was 3 percentage points as they interviewed 900 likely Wisconsin Republican primary voters. And the interesting thing is that while they were essentially tied in a statistical tie, Lee Fish at 36 and Tim Michaels at 34, the executive director of the Emerson College polling, Spencer Kimball, said there is a very clear regional divide among Wisconsin Republican voters. And we have suspected as much. We've certainly seen it in other elections. This poll showed that it still exists as well. When you look at suburban Wisconsin voters versus rural voters, when it comes to suburban Wisconsin voters who are likely Republican primary voters, Rebecca Clefish has a 21-point lead by 15 points. And so it's clear that they appeal to different groups, suburban Republicans versus rural Republicans. And then what each campaign has get just a few more of the people who are already liking you and just convince a few more people to show up and vote? Or do you take the extra time and the extra resources and go try to appeal to a few of those people in the other camp? Does Michaels try to get a few more rural votes, or does he try to pick up some more suburban support in these final days of the campaign? Of those Republican voters surveyed, nearly 40% said that Donald Trump's endorsement of Michaels makes them more likely to support a candidate, and but another 50% said it really doesn't make any difference to them. Oh, by the way, just in case you're going, are these really Republican primary voters? 93% of the Republican voters surveyed disapprove of the job Joe Biden is doing as president. To me, the bigger thing is that 5% say they approve of the job Joe Biden is doing. But by the same token, let's remember, 6% said they're still supporting Kevin Nicholson, even though he dropped out of the race a couple of weeks ago.
I saw there were some right-wing pundits here in the state of Wisconsin that were bemoaning this poll. And I don't know if they were pro-Michaels or pro-Clayfish, saying like which one would be benefiting from Nicholson as numbers still being in there, but essentially being like, oh, you can't trust this poll. You got to throw it completely out because they're still surveying voters on whether or not they want to vote for Nicholson. And the truth of the matter is the guy's on the ballot. His name will be there. And right, so he will pull some votes. Whether or not he pulls 9%, I think is probably unlikely, but he's definitely going to get some votes today in the primary.
Oh, as will Sarah Godlewski and, Tom Nelson, and Alex Lazary, everybody that was hoping to be the Senate nominee. But instead it will be Mandela Barnes. But yeah, Mandela Barnes is not going to get, 100% of the vote. And, you have to wonder with every one of them, is it that somebody legitimately didn't know that Alex Lazary had dropped out? And so, I like the guy, I want to support him. Or is it more of a protest vote? They're with Alex, they're ride or die with him, or Godlewski or Nelson. You don't know. I would just refer back to what political analyst Joe Zepecki told us yesterday. Don't play games in the voting booth. Don't guess. If you're a Democrat, don't vote in the Republican primary because you want to tinker with it. Because you have no idea, whether Michaels or Clefish would be the better candidate. Instead, if you're a Democratic voter, yeah, the U.S. Senate primary is all but done. But there are still how many candidates running for lieutenant governor? There are two candidates running to succeed Mandela Barnes as lieutenant governor. There are two candidates running in the Democratic primary for Secretary of State. Doug La Follette has a primary challenger. And of course, with Sarah Godlewski stepping aside, there are three Democratic candidates for state treasurer, not to mention the third congressional district primary. If you are a Republican voter, you don't want to monkey around with any other races, because again, you have enough to do. There are 8 Republicans running for lieutenant governor. In other words, neither Clefish nor Michaels know who their running mate is going to be yet, and won't until the voting is done. There are 3 candidates in the Republican primary for state attorney general. One of them will challenge Josh Call in November. And then again, there are 3 Republicans running for Secretary of State. And we'll have more to say about that primary a little bit later on. Secretary of State, Doug La Follette has been Secretary of State for the better part of 300 years. And, it has been an office that has been reduced to very little, and yet Republicans want to turn it into something else. There are 2 Republicans running for state treasurer as well. And then there are also some legislative primaries in a few districts, not many. There are some that, just aren't going to go anywhere. In the 2nd Congressional District, which is Democrat Mark Bocan, and then the 4th Congressional District, which is Gwen Moore, there are Republican primaries there. But again, the way these districts are drawn, it's not the winner there is going to get, a lot of traction. The one legislative primary people will be watching is in Robin Voss's legislative district, the 63rd Assembly District, where the Assembly Speaker is facing a challenge from somebody upset that Voss didn't illegally try to decertify the 2020 election results. It's even led to an event last evening called the Toss Voss event, which involved a slingshot and mannequins that we'll probably get into a little bit later on as well. But this is a good time to take a break and to tell you the forecast. It's going to be gorgeous today. That's all you need to know. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitler. We'll be right back.